Amen. So, Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came in and tempting desired him that he would shew them a sign from heaven. So here, basically the Pharisees, actually, they're asking God to show them a sign or show them something, you know, asking maybe for proof of who he is or proof of what he's doing or proof that, you know, they're looking for, they're asking him to prove himself in some way through a sign from heaven. Verse 2, he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times. So here, they've asked him to, you know, prove himself or to... And they're basically tempting him, and as we discussed earlier when we were talking about how Jesus was tempted, you know, he had even said to Satan, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." He said, "It is written that we're not supposed to tempt the Lord." And they don't quite know who he is, but they're tempting him to, you know, show a sign or prove himself, and if you're, you know, tempting him in that way is out of order. So that for them to tempt him and be like, "Oh, well, you have to show a sign, you have to show us something, you have to do this," you know, they're tempting him into a, or provoking a response out of him. And he's saying, "Well, you can look at the sky and say, oh, well, you know, you can tell what time it is, or you can tell if there's going to be fair weather. You can look at the sky and say, well, there's not a lot of clouds in the sky right now, so it's probably not going to rain. You can say the sky is red and lowering, that maybe today won't be the best weather, or you can see, you know, you can look at the sky and you can discern by looking at the sky whether or not there'll be good weather or bad weather or this type of weather or that type of weather. But yet when it comes to the scriptures, when it comes to the spiritual things, you can't discern, you know, what's going on. You're trying to, you know, tempt him into a response or provoke him into a reaction. When you can discern the sky, but when it comes to spiritual things, you have trouble discerning that." So that's what God is, that's what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying, "You're hypocrites, because you're discerning the natural things of like the sky, but you can't discern the spiritual things, like, you know, what's happening in our day, in our time right now." So we should be able to, you know, discern the signs of the times, and even and even in our day we should discern the signs of the times. Like, you know, the scriptures say that, you know, people would in these times, in the latter days, people would be failing for fear, and people would be it would be like, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah, and we see those things being revealed here, you know, in our time, where we see the perversion of our world and the perversion of things going on, and the monetary corruption, the financial corruption, the social corruption, the way people are just, you know, thinking very backwards these days. We see those signs in our times. Like Jesus is saying, we should be able to discern, you know, between what the Bible is saying and what's happening right now. And that's the same way, you know, that Brother Branham is vindicated as a prophet, is that Malachi 4, that's something that the believers had to read and then line it up with, you know, this man that they saw and see, like, if that lines up with what's written in the Bible. And that's how we discern the times. And that's how he's vindicated as a prophet, is through the Bible. So that's another sign of the times, where even Brother Branham was here, we shouldn't go up to him and saying, "Oh, well, show us a sign to prove that you're a prophet." It's like, we shouldn't need a sign. We should, you know, we should be able to discern, you know, based on what he's saying and based on the doctrine and the word that he's bringing, whether or not, you know, he's vindicated as a prophet. And that's the only way we know, is through, you know, through the Bible and through, you know, really studying and really getting into the word, and to be able to discern, you know, with the signs of the time, so that we can truly observe what's going on. And that's what he's criticizing them for, saying you can discern spiritual, like natural things, but you can't discern spiritual things. So I shouldn't have to show you a sign to prove who I am. You should be able to, you know, look at the scriptures and see if what I'm saying lines up with the word, and discern for yourself, discern through the Spirit, whether or not what I'm saying is correct. In verse 4, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So does anyone know what he's talking about when he says, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? No, we'll keep reading. Verse 7, I'll show you what the disciples were thinking. So in verse 7, And they reasoned among themselves and saying, It is because we have taken no bread. So they're thinking, he's talking about bread or something, or that, because we didn't take any bread, or we didn't have bread, or, and they're thinking of it in the natural. They're thinking leaven, bread, like we didn't have bread, or we don't have bread right now, like what? And in verse 8, Jesus is saying, which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? So he's saying, like, this is not, he's saying things, but he's saying, I'm not speaking this naturally, I'm speaking this spiritually. In verse 9, he says, Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is that ye do not understand? I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So there, he's trying to get to them he's expecting more of them. He's not, he would understand if maybe other people, but for his disciples and for the people who follow him, and we are also followers of Christ, but for the people who follow him, he's expecting that we should, we should be able to see these things, be able to discern these things, be able to, study and really be to understand what God is saying to us. So when things like this are said, like leaven, and we shouldn't think about bread, we should think about, what that means spiritually. And even sometimes people take everything in the Bible, very literally. And we can't always do that, because we should know when the Spirit is... We should know when something's being revealed, naturally, and when something's being revealed spiritually. Even things like serpent seed or different symbolic things, or how, women are represent the church in the Bible, or even how in the Garden of Eden it wasn't an apple that, caused the fall. And there's certain things in the Bible where we need to be able to discern whether or not it's talking spiritually or naturally. And here their disciples heard him talk about leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they're thinking, we haven't had bread. So, and he's saying, no, it's not about bread. And in verse 12, they understand, because it says in verse 12, it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So when he's talking about leaven, he's talking about the doctrine. And even in let's go to chapter 23 real quick. So of course in verse 16 he's talking about the doctrine, but in verse 23, in chapter 23 and in verse 2, he's saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. So he's saying that, these Pharisees and Sadducees and these scribes, they're saying these things, and they're saying good things, and they might be saying the right things, but when you look at what they're actually living, and you look at their doctrine, they're not actually living according to some of the things that they're saying. So that's another, this is in the future, because that we just read from verse 16, chapter 16, this is chapter 23. This is in the future. He's still, urging them on to be able to discern, between the actions of the Pharisees versus what they're saying to the people. And what they're saying might sound good. And he's saying what they, what they bid you observe, so basically what they tell you to observe, it says that observe and do, but do not ye after their works. So, because what their works are corrupt, their works are evil. So, and we know actions really speak louder than words in terms of, you know, telling what people actually believe. So we should be able to discern, you know, between different doctrines and different, you know, problems and different confusions, and saying, well, this is right and this is wrong. And we should know between, you know, the leaven or unleavened. We don't want any, you know, leaven to, you know, spoil the whole loaf of bread. So let's go back to chapter 16. And read verse 12 again. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So even Brother Branham talks about this scripture, and he says one piece, and even the Bible says, you know, one leaving a little bit of leaven will, you know, leaven the whole lump. So you don't even want a little bit. You want to make sure you're right in line with the word, and just right, you know, close with God, so that there's nothing that even little that can get in and leaven the whole lump. You want to be perfectly along with the word of God. So in verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he, once again, he's asking us to have the ability of discernment and be able to discern things that, you know, people are saying. Because, like, especially in this time, there's a lot of people talking and saying, well, who is this guy? Who is, you know, why is he doing things so in an unusual way? Or why is he doing things in a way that, you know, just untraditional, and he seems to go against the grain. But and people are talking about him, and people are talking, and he's asking, well, who do you say that I am? So people can talk and talk, but you need to have your own experience, your own revelation, so you can have your own discernment about, you know, what the word says, and make sure it lines up with the word. In verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? So this is, well, who do men say that he is? And then who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So it wasn't revealed by flesh and blood. It wasn't revealed by what men said. You know, it wasn't revealed by, even earlier in this chapter, they were trying to tempt him into showing a sign. But it's not revealed through a sign. It's not revealed through any of those things. Even when Brother Branham talks about how he does mission trips, and he went to certain, we've seen witch doctors and things. He's seen witch doctors and things speak in tongues, or supernatural things would happen, and they would do things that are supernatural. But God is not revealed, you know, in signs. God is revealed in his word and in the revelation. And that's why, you know, that's why God said, blessed art thou. For, you know, flesh and blood, it wasn't flesh and blood. It wasn't a sign. It wasn't some false thing. But it was actually the revelation that hit you. And that you know, the spirit that revealed that to you. It wasn't flesh and blood. In verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So in that verse, he's talking about the revelation, and that's what the church is built upon. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, so that everyone needs to have their own personal revelation, and it'll line up with the word, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. So at this time, it says he's charged them. So he's ordered them to not tell anyone. They've just received the revelation of who he really is. You know, Peter has. He's received the revelation that, you know, thou art the Christ. And as soon as Peter gets a revelation, he says, but you can't tell people just yet. You can't, you know, don't tell them that I am the Christ, that I am, you know, that I am Jesus Christ. And You know, sometimes you might think this is strange because, you know, Jesus also said not to hide your light under a bushel, and he said to be edifying and to let your light shine and to, you know, let the world know. So why here would he say, you know, don't tell anyone who I am, don't tell them I'm the Christ yet? Well, it's because Jesus has the wisdom and he knows what the plan is, and he knows that, you know, there's a time for everything, you know. Even I forget what scripture it says, but there's a time for mourning, there's a time for joy, there's a time for this, there's a time for that. So everything can be done, but there's a time for everything to be done. No, it's not time to mourn at a birthday party. It's not time to, you know, celebrate maybe at a funeral. There's a time and place for everything to be done. So Jesus is knowing with his wisdom. That's why we talked about knowledge and wisdom. They have the knowledge and the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, but Jesus has to instruct them with wisdom to tell them that this is not yet the time, you know, to go telling people. Later on, he'll say, you know, spread the gospel, you know, everywhere to the utmost parts of the earth, and spread it to everyone, everywhere you can go, everyone you can find, spread the gospel wherever you can go. But as of right now, he's saying, you know, this isn't the time. So God has the wisdom of when to give these things out. And even us sometimes, if we have a revelation of something, and maybe we're trying to talk to someone in the world about it, you know, maybe we don't tell them everything, you know, right at the start. Maybe we don't tell them certain things or deep mysteries, or, you know, someone who's never heard of the message, or even maybe doesn't even believe the Bible. Maybe we don't, if they're curious and ask the question, maybe we don't go right into the seals or right into, you know, the deeper things of the word, but there's a time to reveal these things. Even when you have a revelation, there's a time and a place to reveal them. And maybe someone else is on a different, you know, journey than we are. So we need to realize that, and realize that there's a time to reveal these things, and God will reveal it. And really, God has to reveal it, because it's just like the scripture said, you know, man, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter. You know, so we can't jump the gun and try to tell people things that maybe they're not ready to hear, with the trust that, you know, God in the right time will reveal those things to this person. So we always have to be cautious and reverent of the Spirit, and to see what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is trying to do. So there's a time that we need to know, you know, that we need to talk and express ourselves, but there's also a time we didn't know when we need to shut our mouths and not to speak. So they had a revelation of who he was, but it just wasn't time for them to share it. And in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again on the third day. So here he's telling them, I'm going to have to go into Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, I will be killed, and I will be raised again on the third day. He's told them the whole plan. He's told them right there, before it ever happened. He's telling them right there, this is what's going to happen, and this is how it has to happen. And they don't yet fully understand. So, you know, Peter, you know, being very zealous, in verse 22, it says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Imagine, it's incredible. Imagine you just got this revelation that, you know, this man in front of you is the Christ, Jesus Christ. He's the Christ, he's the Messiah that you've been waiting for. And then he tells you something, and then you rebuke him for it. You rebuke the Christ. I mean, it's almost beyond comprehension, but I guess we can be very foolish sometimes as humans. So it says in verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. In verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So, I mean, you just think about that. Peter just got a revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And then Jesus explains what's going to happen. He's going to go to Jerusalem, he's going to suffer, and he's going to die. He'll have to raise again the third day. And Peter is saying, no, you won't. No, you won't. No, that's not going to happen to you. So Peter is literally, he's literally just denied what God said. Imagine God says something to you and you just outright deny it. That has to be the devil. That's why Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because what Peter is doing there is directly against the word of God. That is, God has laid out his plan. He's like, this is what's going to happen. This is what needs to happen. And this is how it's going to happen. And Peter's then just rejected it. He's rejected the plan of God. He's rejected the advice and the instruction of the Lord. So, you know, that is definitely the devil working. So that's why Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." So even us in our lives, you know, we need to be directly in the will of the Lord and know that even if we hear something or see something or think of something that doesn't line up with the word, we need to just abandon it completely. We should never get to a point where we're disagreeing with the word, because at that point, that's Satan, and it's completely wrong. Even here, when Peter just got an incredible revelation of what the word says, and then a few verses later, you know, Jesus is saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because Peter just stepped out of line with the word when he rejected the plan of God. So us as Christians, we always need to be exactly in line with the word and never to reject the plan of God. And whatever God has, even if we don't understand it, we still need to follow and to trust what the Lord is doing in our day. God bless you. You're dismissed.